Okay, so we're in the middle of discussing Mumar. I want to just get through a little more Gemara. I think Evan read for us last time. Maybe we'll have Jonah read for us. That would be a good thing, right? So what I'm really interested in figuring out here, excuse me, we have a range of different types of aryanim. You know, obviously these are not our role models, you know, any of them, but we're trying to figure out qualitatively, in particular, quantitatively and qualitatively, especially qualitatively, right, to what it means, you know, for someone to be a mumar and the different types of mumar that there are. So again, just to put this in context again, as we were discussing the other day, there can be a range of views about, you know, all mumrim in a way. And of course, it's very logically reasonable, and we'll discuss the evidence for this, and we already started, going forward, to also be mechalek between different types of mumrim. The bigger question being, again, I guess in one extreme you could think, you know, this would be a very optimistic view, but, you know, just to be accurate about it, you know, optimistic in a certain way, you know, and then, you know, if you're too, you know, if you dilute your standards out of, you know, even out of too much optimism, then you end up, you know, undercutting, you know, the goal of that optimism. But meaning one way to look at, you know, ovrei avera in general, right, is to see them, I guess the more optimistic way would be to see them as having full Kedushas Yisrael in every respect, and even Cheskas Kashrus, meaning seeing them as, you know, regular members of the Jewish community, you know, who made a mistake. That's like the most minimal. And of course, in some cases, that's exactly what it is. And therefore, of course, you have to answer for your mistakes. You have to neutralize your mistakes. That's the, you know, because Yadus is based on being a mitzuveh and an oved Hashem and a shomer mitzvah. So you have to have the right beliefs and you have to have the right, do the right actions. Otherwise, you have to, there are consequences and you have to answer for that. But having said that, in terms of, again, you know, Kedushas Yisrael, Kedushas Agabra, you know, in other words, this is the perspective, I guess, on the spectrum that would say that we narrow, right, the significance or the consequence or the consequentiality of somebody having done an Avera or even being an Avarian. Those are two different things, and that's already getting on the spectrum. So again, you have to, you know, basically you look at it as a, you know, as a problem, you know, in terms of his actions, you know, to use, you know, the Yitamu Chataim, you know, Bruria, you know, Yitamu Chataim in Aretz Rishayim Odeinam, right? You know, that was her comment. That, you know, we don't say Yitamu Chotin, we say Yitamu Chataim, right? We, of course, that's what I mean, what's initially the optimistic, you know, approach, because it allows us to kind of advance a posture of Avas Yisrael in, you know, in a bigger way, and seeing all Jews as having Kedushas Yisrael, and then relating, not ignoring or glossing over their flaws, that doesn't help anybody, and again, we are held to significant standards, but seeing them as, you know, Tamu Chataim, you know, where the Chataim and the Chotim, there's no, like, you know, it doesn't, you know, redound to the reputation, and certainly not to the, even to the, not even to the reputation, you know, and certainly not to the Kedushas Yisrael of the Gabra. That's one way to look at things. The other way, of course, is, you know, to see the Chet, you know, that people are involved in as, you know, reflecting a huge flaw in their religious personality, in their persona, and depending on both the frequency, the circumstances, or the Avera itself, you know, as, you know, being really a severe, not just flaw, but, you know, maybe even something which, you know, detracts from their Kedushas Yisrael. Again, in between seeing things as reflecting a detraction of Kedushas Yisrael and, you know, yitamu chatayim velo chotim, seeing them as, you know, as having nothing to do with the, you know, kedushas hagabra, or even with the cheskas kashrus of the gabra, there's, of course, you know, quite a range. Right? You know, it's on the extremes, you could say, there are certain things that you can do that elude you, kedushas Yisrael. They're so fundamental, so core, whether on an emunah level or an action level, whether it's on the amei chamis part or the elokayach elokay level, and we encountered this in some of our discussion of kuti, etc. That on a national, you know, absorption level, but on the individual level, the questions are parallel. So that, you know, even in some situations, we're not only going to say that it affects your standing, but it affects your standing, it affects your Kedushas Yisrael, and in some case it may completely eliminate your Kedushas Yisrael. That's what we mean when we say about certain mumrim, that they are, you know, kigoy. Kigoy l'chol advarim. But even then, what do we mean by that? I mean, the person was born Jewish, and if you hold, you know, especially if you extend the idea of Yisrael afa pishakata, Yisrael, like Rashi in his tshuva does, so even then, right, we might mean that in a qualified way, or more qualified way. You know, such a severe indictment, in some cases, you know, makes the person still not exactly, you know, kigoy, but maybe not goy, because he still has some status. On the other hand, in some cases, it might make him worse than a goy, right, because the expectation that he conduct himself, you know, with Kedushas Yisrael, you know, which, you know, are completely shattered, and which, you know, are completely rejected, you know, in some respect, in terms of Rishis Hagabra, you know, it makes him worse, right? Him being a Meshumad who's Kegai, as opposed to somebody just born, you know, without Kedushas Yisrael. So that's something to consider as well. So again, you could lose your Kedushas Yisrael, and we don't know what that means and what that means vis-a-vis real non-Jews in both directions. Absent losing that, you know, you could at least, at minimum, be a Gavra Russia who, because of his Averos, attains a certain status, which, you know, loses Mitzas Kedushas Yisrael, or on the next level, you know, just establishes him, you know, as a Mumar or a Russia. We'll see if they're the same thing in a minute, which is Koveya for certain things. Again, on the spectrum closer to the Yitamu Chatoim part, it could be that, you know, a person who does certain type of Averos, he doesn't lose Kedushas Yisrael, but he does lose Cheskas Kashrus. And again, he is part of a certain population. In other words, we look at him, you know, as by virtue of his improper behavior, as having achieved like a certain status. Even if that status isn't absence of Kedushas Yisrael, but it could be, as I say, the status of an Avarian or a Mumar or a Meshumad, which at minimum may affect his Cheskas Kashrus, and how we look at him, you know, in terms of his being an identified member of a more specific population, you know, which mimela, let's say, excludes him from some of the benefits, or the benefits of the doubt, you know, in terms of Kedushas Yisrael, Cheskas Kashrus, and so on. Right now we're speaking very abstractly. I'm going to speak more specifically in just a minute. So that's really just kind of what I want to point out, that there is this, you know, very extreme range. And the question is how to plot, you know, different things along the spectrum. Now, what are those categories along the spectrum? There's somebody who doesn't have Avera, Akroi, obviously, that's one thing. And then there's somebody who doesn't have Avera with regularity. You know, and within that, we have, you know, the question of the circumstances or the conditions or the motivation of his Avera, right? So, you know, how frequent is he, you know, to this? And what is the nature or the motive of his Avera? Mumala Teyavon, right? Mumala Hachis. What about somebody who's in between a Mumala Teyavon, you know, and a Mumar Lahakis? He's not quite Lahakis, but he's not only Latayavon, or somebody whose threshold of Latayavon, let's say, is extremely low, right? Even in Lahakis, there might be, obviously, you know, different types. So this is a question. Latayavon, Lahakis, in between, Obviously, part of the question is also what averos you violate, as we said before. There are some which clearly, either in the tochen themselves or in the implications, that's also an important distinction, right, are more severe as maisa averos, but also in terms of what they reflect about rishus hagavra or the absence of kedushas Yisrael. Again, mumar l'avodah zarah, and mumar l'avodah zarah can break down into different things too. But mumar l'avodah zarah, let's leave it for the moment. You know, mumar l'chalas haShabbos b'farhesia, obviously. What about a mumar l'chalas Torah kula, right? Who, let's say, you have a mumar l'chalas Torah kula, but he's not an avarian in the area of Shabbos and avodah zarah. Is there such a category? That's an interesting question. Right? And that's what, again, even the language of the Gemara we'll soon see, specifically about avodah zarah, you know, about what impacting, you know, either careful about avodah zarah or violating avodah zarah has on the way we look at the way that you relate to the rest of mitzvos is part of this story. So both, again, the derech and the motivation of averos, as well as the chomer hadvarim, the frequency, the circumstances, and the content of one's violation are logically all going to be factors when it comes to this range, the range that goes all the way from, you know, losing Kedushas Yisrael and being Kegoy, and that's also complicated, as opposed to the Kula range, the more optimistic range, which says, he did a wrong thing, he needs to do tshuva, he needs to bring a karban, he needs to do something, but it affects him, you know, in no way, or if it affects him in any way, it's just in a pragmatic way, in terms of our, you know, kashashos, you know, etc. Okay, so this is the range that we are talking about. What we began with in our little survey so far in the Gemara is that Rava and Abaya, now we get to Jonah, go ahead, that, you know, we have what we did so far, we don't need to repeat what we did so far 100%, but we're in the middle of part of it, and that is that Abaya and Rava, both on Gimel Amud Beis, right, and then later the Gemara develops it, right, on Dalet Amud Beis, and that is they seem to debate, let's say talk about some of the, so far I've talked abstractly about what this all may be about, and, you know, different distinctions that you would draw. What are the facts, and what are the issues and debates in the Gemara and in the Rishonim, you know, and how do we assess them? So on Gimel Beis, it seems clear already that there's a debate between Abaya and Rava, right, about what case? Jonah? Because Rava's suggestion, right, on Gimel Amud Aleph, that another way to read the Mishnah is that we're talking about, I'm just talking about recapping for a minute. Right? Rava suggested to read the Mishnah, Hakol Shoktim Shkitasak Sheira, this is the Chatchil and the Bidiyaved. That refers to what? What case? No. Forget about that. That's Kuti. Right, that we did already. Right, we're past that. You're right. That's Abayin Rava too. I'm sorry. Rav Ashi quoting Rava. Is it Rav Ashi? I'm sorry, my mistake. I didn't mean Abaya and Rava in the Mishnah. I meant Rav Ashi quoting Rava. That we're that's what Gemara is talking about. What? Mumar ochel lemeil l'sotayot. Correct? And Abaya, according to the, so that, and therefore, well, what's the lechatchila and what's b'di'aved? No. No, I don't think so. In terms of the Mishnah, what will be Hakol Shoktin, what's the circumstance? If he's a Mumar L'Teyavon, how can you ever give him L'Chatchila to Shecht if he's a Mumar L'Teyavon? Right, exactly. If what? If factually, if you do what? If you prepare the way by? Exactly. If you do B'dika Sakin, so it sounds like that, according to Rava, neutralizes even L'Chatchila, the problem of Mumar Ochal L'Veil L'Teyavon. Correct? And if not, then b'di'eved, you can do it afterwards. You can check the sakin afterwards, because Oshavek HaTeirah V'Ochal Isura. Correct? And Abaya disagrees. On Gimel Amud Beis, Abaya disagrees. He thinks if you're a Mumar, even L'Teyavon of Ochon Levelos, then Benikas Sakin is not good enough. Correct? Okay. And then the Gemara, later on, explains, I didn't say anything, we didn't say anything yet. So it was, yeah?
No, just, I think this is just something I had to throw in the mix. We didn't suggest it yesterday, but some definitely think Abai is actually more makeup than Rabbah. Just adding it.
Okay. Well,
yeah, we can get to it.
Yeah. So, the Abai is of the opinion, right? Let's assume, according to the Gemara Dalet Amud Beis, that what? That what do we say? That Mumra will tell you that even with the Sakin is no good. Why? Because what? He doesn't have Nemanus because keeping the Dash, right? Dash. So this is the question. We're trying to figure out what is this debate, right, in the Gemara. Whether Numul Ochel Veil Sotayavon, if you neutralize the Aveira, or the if you neutralize the temptation, whether it's going to be okay or not. Correct? So already that could be understood, that debate could be understood, as we already pointed out, in two ways. And it's, you know, zeroing in exactly on this question that we began with, and that is, how do you look at, you know, an Aveira, especially somebody who is Rugil, has a pattern of doing Averos, how optimistic, how narrow should you see his, you know, side of being an Avarian, or, you know, how expansive should that be? That's kind of the issue here, right? So it could be, and this is what's tricky about this sugya, that this debate is on a bit of an umdana level. Although probably not, again, you know, an assessment of the numbers, but an assessment of the numbers pertaining to the threshold, which could be pragmatic or could be a reflection of something else. Now, you could say that the question is that really true, that just because a person is motivated by tayavon, maybe there's a certain momentum that, you know, avera gorera savera, you know, nasa lo keheter, because human beings are, you know, are creatures who rationalize. No one likes to look at himself, you know, and to be critical of himself, you know, in that self-reflection. So there's a nasa lo keheter, there's a certain momentum. Tayavon doesn't stay, well, shavaka teir of yachal isur at a pragmatic level, or it doesn't stay that way. That's one way to look at it. It's a practical argument. How much is that true, or how much, you know, or what is the, you know, koveya, you know, halachically? I wanted to suggest that there could be more than that. It could be that the real question here is, even on the level of Mumar L'Tayavon, whether on some level he doesn't become, right, a not just a person who did an Aveira, but an Avarya, a Mumar. And I'm not focusing only linguistically, although in the Rambam I'm definitely going to emphasize the linguistic point, because I think it's a cumulative evidence, and also in the context of a code. But meaning we call him Mumar Ochel Nevelos L'Tayavon. So obviously those, you know, there are two phrases that imply opposite things. You know, maybe. Mumar has a connotation of rebelliousness. He's a rebel. If you have to translate Mumar, you'd say rebel. Right? Or an incorrigible, it has a connotation of incorrigibility. And it sounds like a description of the Gavra. But then when you say Ochel L'Tayavon, and you follow it up and you say Lo Shavak Yisura, Lo Shavak Keterav Yachal Yisura, you know, so there could be one of two possibilities. It could be what we're really saying is, yeah, his behavior is like a Mumar, but he's a good Jew, he means well, he's, you know, he's one of us. He's got a lot of problems, you know, and he needs to solve them. But anything having to do, you know, you don't want to push that. Ein l'chabo l'chidusho. The chidusho, you could call it, is the avera part, you know. Or no. Maybe the idea is that he's a gavra mumar. He has a certain status as an avaria, you know. And of course, we need to know there's a difference between a mumar l'tayavon and a mumar l'hakas. The Gavra, but certainly in terms of being part of a population, as opposed to just looking at him as an individual with issues and problems, right? But being part of a, you know, the population, you know, the group of Avaryanim, he has that status, and that's important, right? It's defined by Lo Shava Keter of Yachal Yisura. It's not the same as Lahachiz, that differentiates him, but it doesn't mean that it isn't a Maimed Hagavra, it isn't a status, it isn't a Shame Rasha. Moreover, by establishing him as a member of population, right, that also ups the ante in terms of formally granting him, right, you know, the benefit of the doubt or default cheskes kashrus and things. So then the argument, now again, will it go even further and say he's a shame rasha, you know, and that extends, you know, to passel him, you know, in a more formal way, as opposed to it being limited more to things like cheskes kashrus and, you know, gabra chashud and so on and so forth. That's a bigger chiddush, right? Which is why, so again, this is one of the things we have to test. I wanted to suggest the other day that when the Gemara had a little hava mina, you know, that maybe, and then rejected the maskana about bedika sakin, mitrach tarach, that instead of seeing it just as a practical argument, like, you know, what's the threshold of mumla tayavon, that maybe this is part of the story. Namely, maybe it's really these two perspectives. Is he a good Jew? It's itamu chataim v'lo chotim. And therefore, again, we're not going to project, you know, any, you know, more, you know, inclination or likelihood, you know, of avera than we need to. Or it's a deeper flaw. He's really a mumar. He's not a mumar l'haches, and he's certainly not a mumar l'avodah zarah. But he is a mumar. And therefore, default, you know, we perceive it in a different way. And again, part of this goes to the question, excuse me, it's just, you don't want to get these things mixed up too much, but they are kind of parallel and overlapping in some respects, as I said before, and that is, to what extent do you look at this also, as I said the other day, as kind of a, you know, Yitro Tokfo, you know, but the inner Jew is, you know, is somebody who, you know, still has full Kedusha Vatara. So, of course, doesn't mean he's an onus. You don't think that Yitzhak Tokfo is a Petur onus. That's where Yahadus sharply parts company with, you know, modern society, in which, you know, they've definitely raised the, you know, the status and the application of Yitzhak Tokfo in a very big way. We don't do that. But still, you can look at it that way. That's a reason to keep thinking that this is, you know, a problem, but a narrow problem, although a problem that you still have to be accountable for, or no. Or maybe, you know, even acknowledging that Yitzhak Tokfo, and therefore it's different than Lahachis, what we're really saying is that if you were a good enough, you know, Shomer Mitzvos and Oved Hashem, right, then your Yitzhak wouldn't be Tokef, or at least not all the time, or in this way. And therefore the fact that Yitzhak Tokfo isn't an excuse and isn't a way to preserving, you know, the total absolute purity of your Shem Gavra. On the contrary, it's a shear in the flaw of who you are. Again, and maybe it still differentiates you, you know, from other mumrim, but it doesn't mean you're not a mumar. Right. So how much, you know, Lashava Katera Vyachali Sura, how much Yitzro Tokfo, and how much mumar and Meshuma. That may be the debate between Abai and Rav. It doesn't have to be. And that may be the discussion of, you know, what about Mitrach Tarach? And this becomes very important. Okay, so the other thing I wanted to mention is the line, if we could just start with that, because that's where we were in the middle. Do you want to go ahead? On Dalet Amud Beis, where Evan left off, where and that is the attempted rye lem misayele. So I want to get back to that. Hakol Shochtin, this Tosefta in the beginning of Chulin, that's quoted. Hakol Shochtin mafilu kuti, mafilu arel. Go ahead, Jonah.
Lem misayele, hakol shochtin mafilu kuti, mafilu arel, mafilu yishamumar, hai arel, hai hitami, ilen, shemetu echal, mafilu hai tshrom aliyahu, alapshita mumar la arel, because of our mumar, the darah,
Ah, So that's, we'll finish the line, the couple lines, right? Then that's the line I want to zero in on, because we started talking about that, but I want to talk about it more. Go ahead, Ema Seifa. This is what we talked about, right? Ella. Okay, we'll talk about that. We'll continue reading from that in a minute, but we'll probably go back to that more. You know, this view of Ravanan, this very makel view of Ravanan, even in Mumer Labodos Kochavim, that A, the Maisa Beira doesn't posel him, B, it doesn't reflect enough Rishis Hagavra to be posel him, right? Namely that, you know, he can be a Mumer Labodos Kochavim and he can still keep his Kedushas Yisrael, even with regard to Shkita. Okay, that's not our question right now. We are going to address it. What I am interested in is when the Gemara had this discussion about mumar le'arlos, right? So the Gemara says that's a mumar le'davar echad, and had we paskined that mumar le'davar echad was a mumar le'kol tarakula, right? Then he wouldn't be able to be shokhet, correct? But we don't paskin that way, right? And then, however, then there's something else, and that's mumar le'oso davar. Right, and mumala osa davar, that's a bigger chiddush, that would be, you know, acceptable shkita, and that's where Rava comes in. So I wanted to zero in on what is the hava mina, what is the case, and what is the hava mina of mumar la'aral, mumar la'davar echa. Okay, so as we already noted, Rashi says what? That that is referring to? Mevayit, yeah. And mevayit means? It sounds like a lahakas. You know, it means you you're ideologically opposed, or you're a lahakas person. That's what Rashi says, and that's what Tosas seems to say as well. Right? Not explicit in Tosas, but the bottom Tosas. Elamumer laosa davar. Right? Tosas says, Jonah? Oh. So mumer laosa davar. Right, he says it is ulteyavon. That's referring to the mumar case.
Nevelos.
What? Nevelos. So the implication, and he doesn't say it explicitly, but the by adding the word ulteyavon, right? It sounds like Tosis understood that mumar ledavar echad, where the issue depends on whether it's mumar l'kol tarakula or not, that is lahachis, like Rashi. He doesn't say it explicitly, but by adding the word l'tayavon here, right, it sounds that way. So this is to be contrasted, but you don't have to read the Gemara. Of course, the problem is if you read the Gemara that way, I mean, Rashi certainly read it that way, Tosis maybe reads it that way, is that the Gemara seems to be, equating, you know, apples and oranges, you know? Because the mumar la'arlus that they're talking about is mumar la'achis, right? And we're trying to figure out, you know, what's the status of mumar la'achis and toch kedei dibur, you know, comparing it to mumar la'teyavon, you know, ba'oso davar. Like, what does that mean? Ah. Now that itself, I think, is very intriguing. Yes? I'm saying it's not explicit in Tosis, but it sounds like Tosis, like Rashi, thinks that mumar la'orlus is lahachis, but when it comes to Rava, when it comes to the mumar la'osodavar, meaning nevela, that's
l'teyavah. What's the mashmaus
that he doesn't say about that? I think because he split mumar la'osodavar u'l'teyavah, as opposed to the mumar la'davar acher, or the davar echad, that was lahachis, right? That's what it sounds like in Tosis.
You think he's referring to mumar ledavar acher when he says lahachis?
No, when he says, when he zeroes in on the line in the Gemara, ela mumar la'oso davar, as opposed to RL, correct?
Yeah.
Which is what that's the shock of the Torah.
Right?
Tosus jumps in and says, but with respect to Latayah. Implying, I don't think it's a proof positive. It doesn't matter to me so much because we have the range anyway. Meaning Rashi said what he said already. But I think, and the fact that Tosas doesn't correct Rashi, you know, it's hard to know how much weight to give that. But my understanding is that Tosas is saying that, you know, Mumar L'davar Echad, we're talking about Lahachis. And, right? And Mumar, Oso Davar, in this case meaning the Vela, of course, is Latayah. Because no one thinks that Mumar Lahachis, right, that you certainly Lachatchila, you know, can happen through Shechita. Although not everybody thinks that if there's, you know, Bidika Sakin and Omid Al-Gabav, that might be a different story, right? Rashi already said he doesn't think that. Tosis actually says on Gimel Amid Beis that he thinks that Mumar Lahachis, certainly Lavadah's Lidavela, is like a guy. Correct? So I'm saying, I don't know it's 100%, it doesn't matter to me so much, but my, if you want my personal read, it sounds like Arya agrees.
So that's why we came to Shir, to get your personal art.
Oh, thank you. Okay. I appreciate that. don't take it lightly. That's why I don't sleep at night, you know, among other things. Right. Okay. So that Rashi and Tosfos seem to say it's talking about Lahachis. Now, the fact that they are talking about Lahachis, let's say, so on the one hand, it explains better the might have been. The might have been. The might have been, and this is something that Ellie, where's Ellie? Where'd he go? Yeah. And I were talking about aftershare, so I'm just kind of following up. The might have been is, had we said that Mumma the Davar Achad is a Mumma the Kalatara Kula, then it sounds like even the conditions, you know, that you need for Rava's Mumar Latayavon Benevela Ba'osa Davar, right, even those are not good enough. In other words, being Bodek Sakin is not going to help you. Right? If you held, then a Mumar L'davar Achad is a Mumar L'kol HaTorah Kula. Now, this is a Mumar L'Arel, and he would be, if you held Mumar L'davar Achad, Mumar L'kol HaTorah Kula, which is a view, or which is a possible view, he would have been Pasul L'Shechita. Correct? Ellie, you agreed? Okay. Now, if that means Mumar L'Hachis, that's much easier to understand. If you're a Mumar L'Hachis about any mitzvah, does that disqualify you, begavra, when you need Kedushas Yisrael? I don't say, doesn't that make you kegoy gamur lechol ha'davarim? But can it make you that, or at least, you know, disqualify you from things that require, let's say, you know, a high level of Kedushas Yisrael? The answer is yes. Mumar L'Hachis, very reasonable to think, certainly, let me make clear what I'm trying to get at here. Could one say about Mumar L'Hachis that it's just a practical problem? Meaning, he's a Mumar L'Hachis, we can't trust him with anything. Right? Sure. I mean, it is a practical problem. But is it extremely reasonable, let's say, the default attractive option, to think that a Mumar L'Hachis is also a Gavra Russia, you know, beyond the practical question that he is somebody who's Mufka from certain dinim? Certainly from dinim have to do with Cheskes Kashrus. 1,000%. So saying about a Mumar L'Hachis L'davar Echad. Now again, could you be Mechalik between Mumar L'Hachis L'davar Echad and Mumar L'Hachis, you know, Ba'osu L'davar? Sure. Of course you could be Mechalik. But is it a Chiddush to say that a Mumar L'Hachis L'davar Echad is a Mumar L'Chol HaTorah Kula? No. Not at all. On the other hand, so that part of Rashi and Tos, I'm guessing that's what made that line attractive, or that, you know, that interpretation attractive for Rashi, and I'm suggesting for Tosas. On the other hand, they have to deal with one peculiarity, and that is that the Gemara is shifting between, right, Mumar L'Hachis L'davar Echad, and Mumar L'Oso Davar B'Teyavon. That's a little awkward. Okay. Now you could say, because they have different, you know, issues and problems. You know, one is more of a Gabba Russia, and the other is more, you know, of a pragmatic problem. Maybe. Or I wonder whether that alone, whether having, equating these two things and putting them together in the same brisa, whether that doesn't whether that doesn't likely tell us that mumala teyavon la'oso davar, one might have thought or could have thought, just like you might think that mumala lahachis la'davar achar is mumala la'chotara kula, and the chiddush is that it's not. So too, the chiddush is that mumala teyavon la'oso davar is not a gavar rasha la'gabe davar zeh. Okay? A little confused. Yes. In other words, according to Rashi and Tosas, I think what's attractive about saying that Mumar La'orlus L'davar Echad means Lahachis is the Havamina, or the to explain the view that Mumar L'davar Echad would be a Mumar L'chol HaTorah Kula. That's much easier to explain in Lahachis than it is in L'Teyav. At the same time, since the raya here is all about equating, mumar l'davar echad she'ena mumar l'kol haTorah kula lahachis with mumar l'teyavon ba'oso davar, that is still a strange equation, right? And I'm just wondering whether, this has one set of problems, that has another set of problems. We're just lumping them together to tell you that potentially controversial cases are okay. could be the answer. Or whether or not this isn't some indication that even Mumar L'Teyavon, at least Va'osa Davar, should not be perceived not merely as a Yitro Tokfo, should we trust him, shouldn't we trust him issue, but as a, we might think that he's Mufka Begavra from being a Shochet, because he's a Rasha L'Gabe Shmita, even though it's a Teyav. All right? Yeah, having said that, just give me one more second. Let me finish. This is a little complicated. Now, however, that is not the way that all Rishonim read this Gemara. So the other way to read the Gemara would be, and this helps a little for the second problem I just raised, although ironically, if my preferred solution for that problem is correct, then it isn't so far, one from the other. And that is, on the one hand, the better thing would be to say that Mumar La'Orel, Mumar La'Davar Echad that we're talking about, is Mumar La'Teyavon. Because Mumar La'Oso Davar we're talking about is Mumar La'Teyavon. Right? Ah. But then, you have to think about the following question. And that is, and there was a serious thought that Mumar La'Teyavon, La'Davar Echad, is a Mumar La'Chol HaTorah Kula? That is a much bigger kiddush than to think that mumar lahachas davar echad is a mumar lachol haTorah kula. Now, here it becomes a little tricky. This is, I think, what Ellie was pushing the other day, when I was pushing back, and maybe it depends on machlokas or rishonim. You'll tell me if I'm right in a minute. Here you have a major machlokas or rishonim, the halacha, between the Rosh and the Ran on the one hand, right, and the Rambam on the other. And we're going to use this for our broader view of the Rambam. What is the debate, Simcha, between the Rosh and the Ran on the one hand and the Rambam on the other, and all the Nosa Kalim in the Rambam? We have to read the Nosa Kalim in the Rambam, especially the Frankel Magid Mishnah, because they really do a good job in pointing out certain things in the Rambam. What's the Machlokes? That's what I'm asking you. I said, what's the machlokas between the Rosh and the Ran and the Rambam? And then you're saying to me, like, on which point? If I tell it to you, then... a little bit, but... what is the Rambam? How does the Rambam... You have the Rambam in front of you? Oh, does it work or do you need it? Excellent. And the Rosh and the Ran? Do not need it. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. So what again? What's the story? Rava said, right, that when it comes to Oso Davar, you need Mumla Nevelis, the Teyavo needs B'dikasak. Right? If you have B'dikasak and it'll work, because the Shavak Ateir of Yachal Yisura, Abaya, maybe, or whoever, on Dalinov base thinks that it's not going to work at all. Because given the Dash Dash, that we talked about already a little bit. Correct? Okay. But it's basically what Rava says is two things, the Chiddush of Rava. Number one is that you need it. That's probably not so Dash. But number two, the Chiddush really is that it works. Okay. What will Rava say about, not Mumar, Ochel Nevelis HaTeyavon, but Mumar, L'davar Acher, or L'davar Echad L'Teyavon, L'Gabe, what about that guy being a Shochet, you know, now? What will he say about that? So that's the debate, right? Who says what? Ram says you still need B'dikasa. Actually, it's more than that. We're going to read the Rambam's inside in a minute. What do you mean it's more than that? I mean, that's like a general. You also have to be a mumcha. That's also a very important sheet of the Rambam. Although there the Ran agrees, but we'll get to that. That's, I think, also part of the story here. Okay, but more than that. What? L'chatchila b'diavad doesn't kind of appear in the Rambam. More important, does the Rambam paskin like Rava? Does he mention Rava? Does the Rambam mention Rava? Question. Meaning the Rambam's default case, the first Mumar case that the Rambam codifies in Perek Dalet, Hilchos Shechita, what is it, Halacha Yudalet, is actually this case. I mean, Mumar L'davar, Mumar L'Teyav, well, okay. Mumar L'davar Echad L'Gabe Shkita. Go ahead, Simcha, just read it off the Rambam for a minute. We're going to read it more slowly, but Yisrael Mumar L'Avera Min Averos, meaning not Nevelos, right? Okay. So there are a lot of problems in this Rambam, and then we'll read the next Rambam. Also, there are many issues in the Rambam. What's striking is that the Rambam doesn't codify the main case explicitly, the main case of the Gemara. We'll see what the Nosa Kim say about that. Instead, he codifies a case that doesn't exist in the Gemara, and that is controversial. Right? Namely, his default case, where he applies the din of Bodek Sakin, is actually the case of Mumar L'Teyava L'Dabar Echad, right? L'Gabe Shkita. And the question is, where did he get it from, and what does it mean? Now, other Rishonim, the Rush, yeah, sorry. Well, I don't think that's correct at all. I mean, the Rav is definitely being quoted as talking about.
Usually we say, but here there's a reason to assume that that's not true. Meaning,
right, but that's against Rav.
The Kiddush is the application of voting sack even by a couple.
Right, I'm saying, but I'm not disagreeing. I don't know if we're disagreeing on a bigger point, but I don't think it's fair to say that Rava doesn't apply this din. Rava's applying, or the Ravashi is quoting Rava as saying that a mumar ochel nevelos l'teyavo, right? Bodek sakin v'nosema, because l'shavik ater v'achal yisur. The Gemara says that the cholek, the people who don't like Rava, they're saying kiven the dash be dash. Now, would you say that only in this case, or even, you know, in any Mumar L'Teyavon, and that's something we'll talk about that in just a second. But it sounds like the Rambam does not explicitly, we'll see in a moment, 2 days in the Magen Mishnah, I mean, we don't know secrets here. There are 2 days in the Magen Mishnah, whether the Rambam rejects Rava, right? Or just implicit, and he expands Rava. But either way, the Rambam did something amazing here throughout the whole sugya. I'll show in a minute. Hopefully we can see the pattern. I don't think that means there are no problems in Rambam, but I do think of the pattern as unmistakable that this, of what turns what's going on. But the first thing, as Rava said, Mumrochon versus Tayavon, Bodek Sakin, Vinosin. Okay, the Rambam doesn't say that anywhere explicitly. According to the Lecha Mishnah, and according to the first day in the Magad Mishnah, right, it's implicit in the Rambam that he holds like Rava. And he also holds that we extend Rava even to Mumar L'Teav and L'Davar Echad, or L'Davar Acher, whatever you want to call it, right, also needs a Bodek Sakin. But there are two questions. The Rava question is whether Bodek Sakin is going to help you, right, when you're Mumar L'Nevelos, when you're Mumarlos Adavar. Maybe you're so far gone that Bodek Sakin won't help you, keeping the dush, dush. Right? That's one question. The second question is whether Mumar L'Teyabon L'Davar Acher needs Bodek Sakin. What is a Kula? What is a Chumra? That's a question. Now, on that second question, that the Rambam weighs in, that is actually, it's as fascinating that the Rambam ignores the explicit case of the Gemara, instead codifies a case which is not explicit in the Gemara, and which actually is subject to great controversy. I mean, let's say it this way. The Rush and the Ran, anybody have the language of the Rush and the Ran open? Jonah, you have it? The Rush and the Ran disagree, and they both point out that the Rambam disagrees with them. They say that Mumar Ochal Nevelas L'Teyavon B'davar Echad, right, basically, does not require B'dika Sakin. Jonah, you have it? Go ahead, you can read from there. What are we reading, the Rush? Okay, the Rush is fine. Let's skip a little bit. 1 second. There's a guy. I just know how it looks in my. Oh, okay. Oh yeah, a little. 1 second. Okay, right. The Hilchasa. Is that it? Bechza b'ach kerava, the ma'isel b'gemar siyata b'har b'raisa, afila ov gachadim, the apal gav, the dachir b'gemar mukala b'mumar lov v'skachav, k'rav ha'pani, tosav, tzav, v'imkein lo mituk b'raisa l'b'mar l'osa davar. Yeah, aval avaryan l'avera, go ahead, acheres, maskinu l'kamon, avaryan l'davarach lo avaryan l'falat ha'rakula, chutz mi'avaryan l'nasei chiayin l'chal shabbat v'par hesya. Jonah, you're doing well. Okay, the little boy. I didn't mention the other day that in the Medrash, when he said Ani Elokei Avicha to Moshe Rabbeinu, so the Medrash actually says that the Rabbonu Shel Olam sounded like the voice actually sounded like Amram. Does Moshe Rabbeinu heard Amram's voice? That's an amazing thing. I think I said it the other day in private, but. Not Cecil B. DeMille, but Amram. Yeah. Anyway, so like Joan and I have that thing, going, like, because we want to like enact up that whole Medrash thing, right? Like a ventriloquist act. Yeah. Go ahead, Joan. Go ahead.
Who's gone?
I get too excited and I steal people's reading. It's not right. Where are we now? Yeah. Here. Okay. Go. Meaning. The Gemara says that Mumar L'Davar Echad is not Mumar L'Kol Torah Kula, and the Rush thinks that means you don't need B'dika Sakin, correct? And the Ran says exactly the same, meaning just because you are, Mumar L'Teyavon in Orel. That doesn't mean you're a mumar l'teyavon in shechita, right? So why would you need b'dika sakin? So So then the Rush says, okay, well, before we get to that, and that's a raya that they're bringing. Now, both the Rush and the Ran, by bringing a raya from Mumma L'Davar Echad and Arel, right, clearly did not read like Rashi, before we get to the next part, did they read like Rashi and what I'm suggesting is Tosas? Name that when the Gemara says Mumma L'Davar Echad, Arel, we're talking about Mumma L'Haches? Clearly not. Right? Clearly they're reading Mumma L'Tayava. Ah, okay. What? Could be, but certainly the Ran doesn't. It's more explicit. I'm just saying. I don't know that they would hold that way in Mumma L'Haches. Frankly, they may hold that Mumma L'Haches is on anything. The Rush certainly holds that Mumma L'Haches on anything. Seemingly, is a mumar, you know, who's mufka from. So in the Rush, I don't think you could say it. Although, unless you think it's only mumar the nevelos, but I'll get to that. I don't think so. In the Ran, I think it's more explicit. Is it more explicit in the Ran that he interprets the Teyavon? Certainly, the Kesef Mishnah, when he discusses the Rambam, says very explicitly the Rambam didn't read the Gemara like Rashi that it's mivayit. Anybody have a line in the Kesef Mishnah? Cool. Yeah, it looks like Alex has the Ran. You have it in the Ran? Sorry, this takes long because you have to. Fortunately, it's hard to. You have to. Kind of, you have to envision the scenarios depending on the case.
Here it says, "Val mumr lahaches, afilu davar acher." Then you would say, "Harei hein kodim chokim gemur."
Yeah, you're reading
in the Ran.
In the Ran, and the way he interprets the Gemara previously is what? That mumr l'davar echad, lo avam mumr l'kol haTorah kula, is referring to mumr l'teyavah. Correct? And then he says, you have the line there where he disagreed before he quotes Rambam. Mm-hmm. Right? Where he says what the Rush says. That's a great line. Now, of course, it's a pragmatic line, the meaning is no problem. I'm interested in it, because I think by saying it that way, he's also, it inspires the pushback. Is he really Yisrael Kosher? Or is that the issue? Meaning, is there a question of his status, at least vis-a-vis Cheskes Kashrus, you know, or is an identified population, maybe even, you know, the Shame Russia, which would partially, you know, disqualify him. So then he quotes the Rambam. Now again, in my opinion, the Rush and the Ran, who are reading, and the Kesef Mishnah, certainly. Anybody have a line in the Kesef Mishnah? Yeah, go ahead. He's trying to explain the Rambam. If it was Rashi, it would be a Mumma L'Kol haTorah Kula. Like that, we still have to discuss the question of Mumma L'Haches, its definition, its impact. I want to zero in on, so far I'm only zeroing in on Mumma L'Tayavon, although they're connected. But the Kesef Mishnah says that's a pshat in the Rambam. Now, there is still a little bit of a difference between the Rush and the Ran. Maybe, and if this is the pshat in the Rambam, and a lot of people think this is the pshat in the Rambam, by the way, meaning all the Nosei Kalim agree about that. The Magid Mishnah, the Kesef Mishnah, the Radvaz, the Gra in Shulchan Aruch, the you know, they all think that where did the Rambam get this halacha from? Right? Again, he's Shavak, you know, Rava, the Chidesh, you know, it's a fascinating thing. Like, where did he get it from? Well, how did he even know it? He says, no, he thought that there was an equation. They all say this. He thought there was an equation between Rava, in the Gemara, between Rava and Mumar La'arel. So if it's an equation, it must be they're both talking about Mumar La'tayavo. But then the question is, okay, so what are we being mema'et when we say, but we don't, because we don't hold, for the Rambam, it's, even though we don't hold mumil davar achrava mumil lekol Torah kula, you still need bidika sak. And for the Rosh and the Ran who are reading the Gemara that way, it's even though we don't hold mumil teyavon have a mumil lekol Torah kula, right? And therefore, because we don't hold mumil le teyavon le davar achad have a mumil lekol Torah kula, therefore you don't need bidika sak. So in the Rush and the Ran, this is, I think, where Ellie and I were maybe missing each other the other day, I'm not sure. In the Rush and the Ran, there's still the possibility, like, in other words, I want to freeze frame this, that's why this is hard, you know, to pin down. At that moment, let's say we held that Mumer L'Davar Echad was a Mumer L'Chol Torah Kula. Right? What would that mean? So for the Rush and the Ran, L'Shitasam, there's still wiggle room to say, well, if you held mumar the davar echad is mumar lechol Torah kula, then you would need bedika saket. Even if you were just a mumar la'arel l'teyavon, meaning if you held mumar lechol Torah kula, you could hold like the Rambam, right? There's wiggle room to say that. I personally find it hard, and I think in the continuation of the Ran, it's impossible to say, but that you could say. In the Rambam, I think you can't say it, because the Rambam thinks that precisely because we're saying mumel davar echad, right, lo hava mumel lekol Torah kula, right, you still need bedika saket. So what would you have said if you held that mumel davar echad hava mumel lekol Torah kula? The answer is you would have said that bidika sakin doesn't help you, and probably omid al gabab doesn't help you either. Meaning, the Gemara was considering the possibility, it needs to exclude the possibility that mumar l'teyavon l'davar echad isn't a rasha mumar who was formerly pasul in other areas of halacha, even if you could neutralize, right, the tzad ha-teyavon. That is remarkable. Now again, it could be that the Rush and the Ran read the Gemara that way too. It's hard to know. I mean, what we know in the Rush and the Ran is that they don't think l'maskana, that mumer l'davar echad lo ava mumer l'chol Torah kula. So let's discuss that argument for a moment. So they think, well, what do you need bidika sakin for either? He's a weak, he's like, you know, he's terrified of knives or of a bris milah. You know? He has a phobia of bris milah. What does that have to do with, with shechting animals? Doesn't mean that he, you know, is going to be makel, even if there's tircha and bedika sakin or whatever in Hilchos. I mean, people's all teyavon is the same. So in a way, what does the Rosh say about the Rambam? The Rajba says about the Rambam, I don't even know where he got it from. Right? That's the line of the Rajba. The Ran says, I know where he got it from. He got it from this equation in the Gemara. The Rosh goes further. What does the Rosh say? Akiva? Sa? Ellie? Yeah. Anyway, you have the language? Pokar, in Pokar, not something like who has a language? Lior, you have it? Eitan, you have it? What's on the board? So this is a fascinating argument. Again, if this is an argument, you could say, again, I'm trying to be honest, I have my clear preference. Again, I hope my preference, you know, is based on what I really think is a more compelling read of the situation. But could this all be kind of an umdana, kind of a machlokas? Even then, it's fascinating. I mean, you're an abaryan, right, leteyavon, in one area of halacha. Clear, at minimum, there's an argument here between the Rishonim, whether that spills over to another area. So that's a pragmatic question, like in the psychology of sin, you know, kivin d'dash, or is it about this bigger question that I was talking about before, which is, you know, do we kind of default? And again, it's a very optimistic mode, and there's something very pure and idealistic about it. But when it's taken too far, it ends up being the opposite. That's the problem with these things. Right? You'd always like to be, you know, magnanimous, be done people lekapskos. But it's like the Rambam says. You know, we talked about this a couple of years ago. You know, what does the Rambam say? Have to be done adam zakai lekapskos. You know, but you know, if you can't make a mockery, you know, of assessing situations. So, if you want to take the view, like every aveira is an aberration, every aveira is an anomaly. You know, as I said, yitamu chataim, not kotim, or quote the Rambam in, you know, kofen oso atchiyom arotzani, you know, in Hilchos Geirushin, where the Rambam says, you know, because you're helping him do what he wants to do. You know, the inner desire. You know, no, those are wonderful ideas. And then you'd say with the other Rishonim here, so he has this phobia or you know, whatever it is about Orla, you know, why should we project that on? Why shouldn't we give him the benefit of the doubt? Cheskos kashrus, dan lekapskos when it comes to other things, why does he need b'dika sakin? Right? And the answer to that is, well, I mean, we did studies. You know, and we see that, you know, if your path of least resistance, you know, in one area, you know, then that's going to probably spill over in the other area. That could be purely on the umdana level, a psychology of sin, and so on and so forth. And then, by the way, you could get all sorts of really interesting other things like, you know, I don't know, the hierarchies, you know. You know, he's kal on taboos, he's kal on everything, but he's kal on, you know, things that people have, you know, paranoia about, or you know, then maybe not. And like, if on an umdana level, you don't have to go, you know, all in or out of this question. But I think what the Rush is trying to say, maybe, is not on the umdana level. It's talking about this question, meaning Yitro Tokfo, right? But that also says something about his Cheskos Kashrus. It says something about his general shmiras of mitzvot, not necessarily only about this mitzvah. In which case, what the Rambam is really saying is that mumar l'teyavon on some level is a gavra rasha. Now, even then, you could have said a gavra rasha for this isn't a gavra rasha for that. But you certainly can understand that we're not just talking anymore about, you know, the likelihood or the level of suspicion. We're talking about a flawed gavra who loses some of the default Cheskos Kashrus or Kedushas Yisrael, whatever it is. So now, if that's the pshat, so then we really understand why the Gemara was even playing with the possibility that a mumar l'teyavon would be a mumar l'chol haTorah kula, and b'dika sakin wouldn't help you. The Russian Ran may think that also in the Havamina. I'm not sure. They just don't have to. But the Rambam has to. Oh. So if that's the case, that might end up, you know, again, to be contrasted with the line of the Ran, which is what the one we said, that he's a kosher. L'chol advarim is a kosher. Rambam says he's not begavra, he's not a kosher. So it's fine. I see it's late already. I feel badly. It's much longer. But we'll try to go through the other makoros more quickly. Now let's just look at the Rambam. Just make a few comments quickly, and then we'll finish up with the Rambam and back to Gemara next time. And that is as follows. Again, Jonah. So just take us through the Rambam, but slowly. But we'll do it quickly. Slowly, quickly. Okay. You have umumar. I have in the Frankel. It has meshumad. I think it's important. What? has mishumad. Yeah, and you have in yours mumar. Yeah, the different kisvayad. Now, is there a difference between a mumar and a mishumad? Again, mostly this is a linguistic interesting question. Certainly, just like mumar, like chos mamre, means a rebel, right? A bogeid. A mishumad has even a worse connotation, obviously, in terms of shmad, right? So I do think the language isn't koveya here, but it is interesting. And what's, again, Yisrael mishumad la'avera min averos, right? So the first thing to notice is what? I mean, we already said one thing, which is the Rambam starts with a much more ambitious, expansive category, something that's not in the Gemara explicitly. Right? Mumar l'davar echad, impact on nevela. He doesn't even explicitly mention it. Why would he do that? First of all, how does he know it? That we talked about a little bit already. And why would he do it? But even more than that, or consistent with that, Jonah, what word is missing here? Again? What do you mean? What do you mean, echad? Oh, no. Averim and averos is fine. Yisrael mishumad la'averim and averos. What word is missing here? Correct. Where's the word l'teyavon? Right? Who makes the comment? Anybody see? In the Nosa Kalim? The Ramach. Right? Goes to Ramach. Says, Tema, the Hayalol Farish, Dafka Meshumad L'Teyavon. The Kivin de Badak Sakin Venasa Lo Shachid Shapir. Ava Meshumad Bahachis, Osar Lecha Mishkitasa, the Havale Min. Rafila Badak Sakin Venasa, Osar Lecha Mishkitasa. I don't know whether the Ramach is accusing the Rambam by omitting the word Teyavon, that he means Lahachis on the Teyavon. He's saying, what? I doubt it. But I do think he's saying this is sloppy writing because he's not being explicit, but the Rambam is not capable of sloppy writing. Right? So what's going on here? So what's going on here? Eitan?
Saying, like we just said before, that the Rambam believes once there's a pagam and one of the mitzvahs, the whole thing is
wrong. You know, of course, it you'll see from the continuation that this is dafka l'teyavon. But he wants to emphasize that exactly that mumar l'teyavon, right, is not just yitzro tokfo, and it's not just kataim. It is in some respects, yes, kedushas Israel. But this is a deep flaw. This is a category of mumar / mishumad, which is why in the substance of it, right, he thinks that you need Bodek Sakin, even though it's only, you know, Mumla Davar Echad. And therefore, what he wants to say is, it is Mumla Teyavon. You can tell that by reading everything I'm writing. But I don't want to mention it or formulate it that way because I want to accentuate Dafka, the Tzad HaChomor. Now, as I say, what happened to Rava? What about Rava? Where's Rava? So these are 2 days in the Magen Mishnah. The one here, right? One view of the Magen said maybe the Rambam really holds Kivin to Dash Dash. Wow. Again, the first day and not that way. The Lechem Mishnah actually says, I think the Rambam used language. Amai lekomer Rabbeinu afilim mishumad ochel levelus of tayavon the hava rabusa tvei the hava aminu the aser lechom mishum the dash bei bet teradami. See, all the other Rishonim are upset with the Rambam because they think he went too far with Mumla Tayavon L'Davar Echad, Mumla Nevelos. And they think it's wrong. Right? The Magen Mishnah, again, the second day, says his Chumrah, he doesn't say it this way, he just says it. He says, probably doesn't mention Rava because he thinks, Kivin the Dash Dash. Wow. And the Lechem Mishnah is asking, and saying, no, he holds like Rava, but why wouldn't he emphasize Rava to be Mamait, Kivin de Dashta? Yeshomar de Noket, Lishara, Veros, Lashmina, Filahi, Beinam, Bedikasak, and Shiv de Kuvi Yitnu de Loka Rush. The Dina de Mumra, Ochel, the Velos of Tehav, Bedikasak, and Sagi, Mishtamei, Melishon Rabbeinu, Shaharei. By the way, this actually worked with what Jonah said a second ago. You know, you said it maybe should have said Echad, right? A little bit. So he says, Sharistam, Tani Lave Rabin Abeiro. So Bzen Nichlal, Ochel Avelos, Meteyava. Maybe he says Aveira Rabin Abeiro because he wants to say Bain Aveira Acheret, Bain Osa Hoaveira. Either way, you have this din, right? But again, second day Magid Mishnah thinks even that's wrong. Wow. So this is a way that he, it's this Chiddush, maybe even an exclusion, a rejection of Rava, or maybe not, or maybe saying they're the same thing, which is also astonishing. The way he reads the Gemara about RL, you know, it would lead us to think that there's even a that there was a possibility, or that you need to exclude Mumala Davracha being Mumala Chol Tarakula, where Bidika Sakin is not only necessary but doesn't even help. How could that be? That can only be if he's really a Gavra Russia. Right, in the reconstruction. That's why I spent so much time on the reconstruction. Then you have, who mentioned it already before? Yisrael Meshumad Avir and Aviros. What's the next word? Shehaya Mumcha. What about that? Is that significant or not? I bang on the table to mislead you? Would I do that? For surely I might. But did I? What's that about, Jonah? No, I'm not sure about that. But is there a chiddush when Ram said Shahaya Mumcha? Is that mechudash? Does everybody agree with that? We already know this debate, actually, a little bit. What's the significance of the word? It's not in the Gemara. Yeah. Rambam is telling us, like the Ra'ah, right, that Ro Mitzuyin Eitz Hashchit Mumchen Hein does not apply to a Mumar L'Teyavon. The Ran actually agrees with that in the end. The Rajma, we know, disagrees with it. It's a major debate among the Rishonim. Now that is an interesting thing to think about. Like, what is that debate? So I think there are two approaches that make it significant. One is if he held like the Beis Halevi's take on the Ra'ah, and it was also his take in the Rambam, and that is that Rov Mitzuyin Eitz Hashchit Mumchen Hein is about not an umdina, not a rov alone, but it's about Cheskas Kashrus, the Gavra, right? Of the implicit Ein Echad Neman B'Yisurim, right? So the Rambam's saying, if you're a Mumar, even L'Teyavon, even though he's not saying the words L'Teyavon, but it's clear. If you're a Mumar L'Teyavon, by the way, it's not just the Ramach who notices that he didn't say the words. The Magen Mishnah begins this way, by the way. Here. Divrei Rabbeinu Stumim become upon him. Achas should, all his questions are good. Should din zeh lo nizkar b'gemara, el b'mishum et ochel avelus et tayav on a kederava. He quotes the din that's not in the Gemara, that a lot of people disagree with, that's mechudash. Right? And he ignores the din that is explicit, that everybody seems to hold by. Right? The, here. Kedekas, Kidakasivna Kula Lo Svir like Rabina. Am I reading the right thing? Or did I skip? No, I skipped. Dama Rava, you saw Mishir Benoch and the Veil Satayav, and Bodhisattva Menel, saying? Da-da-da-da. Hare Nir, the Din Bodek, Sakin, Lo Itmar, Elo, Chon the Veil Satayav, Napka. Rabina Kasa, Fidel Mishir Ben Aveir, Ben Aveiros, Bele Adana Minale, the Ode, Lo Kasa Rabina Din Ochon the Veil Satayav, Mayhe Dino. Right? There's an omission, in addition to the fact that the Ram doesn't mention the Teyavon, even though it's clear that he's talking about, which is the Ramach's question, and it leads you to think maybe, or you could get confused. I mean, he's writing a code, should be clearer. Right? Unless there's a benefit to not saying the Teyavon, because he wants you to know that even you're talking about work a little bit, figure it out that he's talking about the Teyavon, and that by not saying it, he's telling you this is a Mumar. Right? But he left us not knowing about Mumar Lahachas what the story is. By Yosef Kasha Shimon Rabbeinu, Shikasa Yisrael Mishumad Laverim and Averos Shaya Mumcha. Like who's going to Bedikas Sakin Kai Gavna Elibu Kimta Ravashi Rava? So the whole din of Mumcha, not Mumcha, says the Magid Mishnah. That's part of the story of Rome Mitzvah Netzach Shchita Tzravina. Rome Mitzvah Netzach Shchita Mumcha. Where did the Rambam get this from? So again, one way to look at it is, the innocuous way to look at it, I guess, not the Beis Halevi way, is it's a pure umdana. Just because somebody is a mummar l'teyavon doesn't mean, what psychological impact or does that have, or implications does that have on his being a mechutzef, you know, who'll pick up a sakin knife with little or no or insufficient training, you know, and try to pass himself off as a shomer. Like a normal Oved Hashem Shomer Mitzvos Yore Elokim wouldn't do that. But, you know, a guy who, you know, would do Averos on a regular basis, you know, because of his Teyavon, would he even do that? So it's all a psychological profile question. Fascinating one. You know, how particular or generic or general, you know, how federal government desk, you know, is this kind of a spiritual malady, right? But what I'm trying to suggest is, if you're holding a Beis Halevi, and you think that this is about Cheskas Kashrus, then this is a critical statement, and a totally consistent one. He doesn't get it from the Gemara in Achanami, but he gets it from the Gemara. He gets it from the Gemara about how he understands globally Mumar Ochel L'Teyavon, and also how he understands Rov Mitzvah Netzach Shchita Mumchane. But even, let me say it this way, even if you want to say it has to do a little bit more like with an umdana or a rov, behavioristically, there's still an interesting formal question, this is what I was hinting at before, and that is as follows. Do you legally have the right, to assess the Mumar Ochel L'Teyavon population separately with regard to this question and this issue? Or you can say, oh, all left-handed people, all right-handed people, all, you know, quick-to-anger people, you know, people who show that they're mechutzafim, you know, in their sharp use of language or their lack of kibud av ve'eim, or, I mean, where do you draw the line? We have a rule, Rov Mitzvah Netzach Shchita Mumchen Hei. Right? We don't break up the populations, you know, in other ways. What gives you the right to reassess, even pragmatically, you know, whether a rove or a chazaka should apply to a particular person based on some subpopulation category? The answer sometimes is pragmatic, and if there are enough, and, you know, and so on. Obviously, you're not going to have a zillion, you know, little pockets of categories. That's just, no legal system can tolerate that. But part of the answer, I think, is, in addition to the pragmatic criteria, are the legal criteria. Al pidin, is Mumar Ochel Nevelas Teyavon, is he a different Jewish population vis-a-vis these types of questions? The answer is, if you look at him, you know, in the time, again, I'm quoting some of these things to make the point. I don't mean, you know, that Bruria, you know, comment, which is normative comment, doesn't, you know, disagrees with any of this, or you know, or the others, or the, you know, have they done as kaladim zakai lekatz? I'm just using these to kind of highlight certain themes. But what I mean to say is, the more you look at Mumar Ochel his avera as an anomaly, and ein lecha bala chidusho, and his kaskas kashrus and so on and everything else about him being totally intact, right? The more, number one, you shouldn't be choshesh him, you know, so he has this problem. Why should you extend it and say that it applies to Romans and Asians? For the same reason that you wouldn't want to say, you know, L'davar Echad is also L'Nevelos, so you wouldn't want to say that it spills over into Roman Tzuyim. Right? But even more than that, the point is there is no population of mumar l'tayavon. There's only, you know, what to do about the direct, you know, issues that, you know, that follow from encountering it. So then, of course, Rav Mitzvah Neitzel, legally Rav Mitzvah Neitzel Shkita Mum Kaneh. You say, oh, this guy's a particular Mechutzah. I know him. He's my next door neighbor. You know, we're not going to apply Rav Mitzvah Neitzel Shkita Mum Kaneh with him. Besafek. It's Vaday. It's a different story. But, so I think what the Rambam is saying here, even in that point of view, even if you don't say like a Beis Halevi, is enormously important. Moreover, let me just finish one. Yeah, Aaron, go ahead. I'm going to finish in one more minute, but yeah.
If we're saying that the moral of the Rambam, the Teofon, is really a Gavra Marusha, then why would it be that Nigas Sakin helps him at all?
No, because he's not Kegoy. He hasn't lost his Kedushas Yisrael. What he's lost is his Cheskas Kashrus and his status as somebody who you can trust for Shechita. That's what I wanted to say when I started. I wanted to say there are different, even the Gavra, if there are levels, there are different levels. And we'll see in a second, yeah, when we talk about possibly Eidos Vameiro Minameiros, that you can have even more levels. So Tzorich Yisrael Kosher Livdok as Asakin. The Achakach, where were you, Jonah? Go ahead. Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, we've got to get through one Rambam here at least, right? Where are you? One second. We finished on Bumcha. We're talking about every word of the Rambam, right? Tzorich Yisrael Kosher Livdok as a Sakin. Notice Yisrael Kosher. I mean, again, the Rambam's using Gavra kind of phrases. You know, we could have said Yisrael, right? Sheino Kosher, whatever. Okay, Livdok as a Sakin. Go ahead. Achakachit Nena Limishumad Zeh. Right, the Yisrael Kosher and the Mishumad. Okay. Mipnei. Yeah. Notice. Now again, there's nothing wrong with what the Rambam says here. But what's interesting about it is what he doesn't say. All he has is the line in the Gemara, Shes Kaso Sheino Torech Livdok. Right? He doesn't write that he's kosher because of Lo Shavak Yisura, or Lo Shavak Ater of Yachal Yisura. That he says for the next halacha. That's, I think, interesting. Go ahead. And that's something that was noticed also by the Nosa Kalin. Vimhaya Meshumad, go ahead. Yeah, now by putting these two things, again, this is already not, you know, these are more cumulative evidence. Should the Rambam put these two things in the same halacha? Right? I wouldn't have. Again, you know, if you just want to save some ink, I mean, they're not terrible in the same halacha. But one is Afgas Agavra for sure. Right? And the other is just, you know, we want to make sure that we can rely on the Shechita. But if it's Mishumah and he doesn't even mention Teyavon and he's expanding it and may even turn his back on Rava or is keeping us guessing and he requires a Mumcha and it is a din in the Gavra. Now again, Aaron's Aura is correct. Bodek Sakin does work. Right? He's not a Min. He doesn't lose Kedushas Yisrael Lagamri, but he's not a Yisrael Kasher Lagabe Davarzeh. It's okay. There's a worse one. Mumla Barzara, Mumla Kal Shabbos Farhesia, etc. Then what follows is fascinating because the whole next halacha shouldn't even be here at all. Go ahead. And even then the Rambam doesn't want to let it go. The Rambam brings in Misha Pasala Le'edus Ba'averim and Averos here when he talks about Shechita. Right? And some of the Nosa Kalim again point out, like, what is this halacha? What's it doing here? First of all, they have point out that there's a stira, seemingly. What does it mean? How did he become Pasala Avera? How did he become Pasala Edus? Sorry. Ezra? become pasul eidus. What? An act of rishus. He did an aveira. So that's not misha avar aveira mina aveiros. Why doesn't he need bodek sakin? Right? Good question. Zev, what do you think? Oh, so all the Rosh Kalim masses are bothered by this. And Pe'echa, they all say, obviously the Rambam is mechalek between somebody who's ragil ba'aveira and somebody who just did an aveira. To be pasul edus, the Rambam says, no, let's say this, you have to do an aveira sheish ba'malkus, which makes you a shame rasha, or yim binakosa rasha, either aveira sheish ba'malkus, befo'al, or an aveira of chamas mamon, which also makes you a rasha. You do one time. Until you do neutralize the b'tshuva, etc., you're pasul le'edus. So here, the Rambam is saying, mishu pasul le'edus ba'aveira min aveiros shel Torah. That all, by the way, that's a shame gavra. The pashas, it's a chashaker. Right? He's pasul bein l'schus bein l'chova. It's a shame rasha. But what about l'shchita? Hareza shochet. Why does he tell you this? Because he just finished telling us that the problem of Mumel L'Tayavon isn't just a problem that, you know, maybe his Yitzro Tokfo. It's because Yitzro Tokfo reveals a flawed person, a Meshumad, somebody who belongs in the same halacha, you know, with the other Meshumadim, somebody who you don't even spell out that he's not Lahakis. We'll talk still about, you know, is there something in between Lahakis and L'Tayavon the Rambam may have also intended by not saying the word L'Tayavon to tell you. It doesn't say Lahakis, it doesn't say L'Tayavon. Presumably Lahakis is not kosher at all, even with Bodek Sakin. But what about in between? Does he have to be a L'Tayavon to have the help of Bodika Sakin? Right? So now he's telling you, oh, we just said that a Gavra is puzzle. So you would think that would be true for a Shame Russia, another Shame Russia, the one who's Pasul Yedus. And by the way, not every Mumer L'Tayavon is necessarily Pasul Yedus. If it's not Chamas Mamon and there's no Malkus, then he's not. There are Kulas and Chumras. It's not a straight hierarchy, because they're different dinim. One is Shame Russia, and this is Shame Cheskas Kashrus, Kedushas Yisrael. But here you don't even need Bedika Sak because he's not a Mumar or a Meshumad. This is a different category. Okay? It's his rebelliousness, not the fact that he did a Maisa Aveira alone. That's why it needs Regilus. We'll see also in Maisa Karbanos and Chicago. So we still have to do those. Imay Mumcha She'eno Miniach Davar Mutar V'Achol. Here's where he says, Shizu Chazaka Kol Yisrael, the Filo HaRishayim, they're Rishayim. Some Rishayim don't lose their Cheskas Kashrus on Shechita, even though they lose their Pasul Yedus. And there are some people who don't have Cheskas Kashrus or Shechita who are not Pasul Yedus. But it's fascinating that he quotes Lo Shavakas Hetera of the Achal Isura in the Rishayim that don't even need Bedik Asakin, even though it's also true for the others. But this, again, some of the notes of Kalim, I think Kesem Mishnah, says, why is he quoting, I don't remember which one, one of the notes of Kalim says, he's quoting L'Shavak HaTeira, which the Gemara says about Mumel L'Tayavon, he's quoting it for Psoledis to Russia. Like, why is he doing that? Yeah. Why doesn't he need to be a Mimcha? Mishu Pasal Edis Baver Maver Shal Torah. Because he's not a Mumar, he's not a Meshumad.
But he still needs to be a Mimcha.
What?
Rav still requires him to be a
Mimcha.
He doesn't
apply with the same. Mishu Pasal Edis. How do you know that this needs to be a Mimcha? Oh, Imhum Oimhum Mimcha, you're right. Yeah.
Seems that
I guess because he's still a Russia, maybe that's still.
He still seems to have different standards for the
Cheskas Kashrus. I mean, you don't need Bodek Sakin because there's no, you don't have to neutralize the Teyavon, but he has still a Shame Rasha. Yeah, so that part. Cheskas Kashrus for of Rav Mitzuyin, you still won't have. Or the population, I guess maybe Rishayim, you know, they would do this. That's a good point. Yeah. I don't think it had to be that way, but the Rambam does think it is that way. Now, we'll see how this fits in with the Rambam in Ilchos Tefillin, Ilchos Ma'aser Karbanos, and the Peshkagos. Okay, so I want to finish up Mumar L'Teyavon. I want to go back to the Ran. I want to talk about the in-between category of Lahaka. What does everybody think about Mumar Lahaka? So that's the next thing I want to talk about. I still want to talk a little more about the Rajba and the Ran. And again, the in-betweens. Rabbeinu Yerucham, Kesem Mishnah also quotes. So let's finish up Teyavon and Lahakas first. Then we'll talk about Mumar Kol Tarakula Lavar Zara and Chil Shabbos Kfar Hesya. Okay, and then we'll try to move on. Sorry, we went a little late.